O God of justice, grant us the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to seek always and everywhere after truth, come when it may and cost what it will. Amen. Good morning. I am Reverend H.K. McKinney, and I am so grateful to be with you all this morning and be part of this incredible St. Paul's community. I'm a vocational deacon, and I last served at a parish in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I relocated to North Carolina with my wife a few years ago, and though I'm not currently serving as a deacon at a parish of my own, this season of my journey has brought me to the St. Paul's community, where it is evident that there is no absence of love and light at any moment. So thank you for welcoming me. When in conversation with me, you'll find that I won't make it far without quoting or referencing a line from one of my favorite movies, A League of Their Own. One of the best moments in the movie is when the Rockford Peaches are leaving for the World Series and Gina Davis is finally reunited with her husband, and in a vulnerable moment, her priorities unexpectedly pivot and she decides to quit the league and quietly leave. Her coach, Tom Hanks, catches her and confronts her. She says to him, "It just got too hard." To that, Tom Hanks replies, "It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great. The hard is what makes it great." In today's gospel, we find Jesus sending out the 70 disciples to prepare the way for him, sending them out in pairs of two to go before him where he intends to go. This is a rich and relevant text with much to unpack and many directions one could go. In reflecting on Luke's words, I'm struck by the deep and complex theme of vulnerability, by how hard and arduous this journey must have been for the 70 with what I imagine to be so many unknowns and a seemingly endless potential for things to go wrong. Jesus uses a rich agricultural metaphor to present the hurriedness of this mission, comparing the disciples to laborers being sent out into the fields to harvest fruit of the vine, implying its time-sensitive and important nature. Note how Jesus is asking them to go out. Take no bag, no protection, no personal possession or personal comfort. Moreover, he asks them to go into communities of strangers where they will likely face opposition. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus faced oppressors, enemies, and those who wanted to harm and silence him. And by association, a challenge that extended to his followers as well. From the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus faced opposition. Jesus always responds by proclaiming what his ministry is about. It is not about meeting opposition with violence, but about proclaiming freedom in peace and healing in love. And with this torch of truth, Jesus sends the 70 into the world, reminding them that there is a direction and purpose to his ministry, even when things are dark. I tell you, if this was a job posting on Indeed.com, believing I'm not qualified, I probably would not click on it. The call for the 70 sounds like a big task and one that sounds pretty official to me. So it got me thinking, who were the people selected for this and what are their qualifications? Were they chosen based on gender or nationality? Able-bodied or physically strong? Religious leadership or education, popularity or social status. Based on what we know about Jesus, the answer is probably no. There was an evident vulnerability among those chosen by Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector in collaboration with the Romans. Simon the Zealot was radically and at times violently opposed to Roman occupation. And Simon Peter, oh so relatably, struggled throughout his journey to understand and live out Jesus's call to follow. Among the people who followed Jesus were often the most vulnerable and disregarded populations, who people likely didn't take seriously nor garnered much respect. Jesus himself faced judgment simply because he was from Nazareth, a stigmatized and modest community. These were not people of power. They were common, everyday folks who had nothing and yet everything to lose. And through their love and devotion to Jesus and his ministry, took on this extraordinary task. There's a central theme throughout Holy Text that points to three important qualities Jesus commands from his followers: love, compassion, and mercy. I once heard the modern-day mystic and Episcopal priest Cynthia Bourgeau refer to a calling as a leading, which she described as a strong inner prompt to accept a new invitation. Today's gospel brings that image to life. Because remember, Jesus asked his followers to lead the way ahead of him. The vulnerability in this ask personifies and embodies a walk in love, knowing the risk involved and doing it anyway. At the heart of such a hard and vulnerable mission exists the anchor and the purpose. And that purpose is love. I can't think of many scenarios more vulnerable than when we open ourselves to love. It is in the midst of hard and pain that the most incredible experiences of transformation and love are born. When I say love, I mean big L love. What we know as agape love, which is a selfless, unconditional, and sacrificial love in its highest form. It's the kind of love we strive for, and one could say, is the hardest kind of love. Not only does this love open us to deeper connection with others, but it allows us to experience profound connection with the world around us. This type of unwavering love has nothing to do with the worthiness of its recipient. This love is exemplified by God's love for humanity and the love that we as Christians are called to show to God and to each other. As the lovely offertory sentence reminds us each Sunday, walk in love as Christ loves us. Walk in love as Christ loved us. When I'm reminded of this every Sunday, I don't always consider the full picture of what it actually means to walk in love as Christ loved us. It sounds beautiful, and I don't always grasp how hard that actually is to do. It is a reminder that in love, there is both mercy and grace, and unavoidable hard. Love is one of the most incredible dialectics in existence. For anyone unfamiliar with dialectics, it's a philosophy that holds that two opposing ideas can both be true at the same time. I can value my job and not want to go to work. I can feel grief and relief at the same time. And love can be both the most incredible gift and capacity we can experience and the source of our greatest pain and challenge. Perhaps the hard is what makes this kind of love great. Hard experiences can deepen mercy and compassion. In the book Grace and Grit, Ken Wilber writes about his personal story of loss and transformation. He writes, "Practice the wound of love. Real love hurts. Real love makes you totally vulnerable and open. Real love will take you far beyond yourself, and therefore, real love will devastate you. There's a truth that exists in the hard if we can remain open to it, that we are not actually alone there, that in the mystery of the divine, grace does indeed reach back, that pain and grief become intertwined in a greater love that holds all things together. Following Jesus' call to love is about believing in something, loving something so deeply that we commit to coming back even when it's hard, over and over and over again. Even when we feel like we can't or we don't know how, love is that driving force. Hard experiences and struggle hold the power of transformation. They transform how we express and receive love. Transformation can draw us closer to connection and intimacy, shift our perspective and our priorities, and can give us the confidence to face obstacles we never believed we could. The kind of love that the 70 carried on that mission is the same love that allows us to dialectically hold that everything will be okay, even when things are not. This is what I believe it means to walk in love as Christ loved us. Not to get it perfect, but to keep coming back. There is a lot of hard and a lot of darkness in our world right now. The political violence we're seeing unfold daily against the most vulnerable populations in our country and beyond, as well as the war that is being waged against meeting basic needs and the right to exist, feels so unbearably short-sighted. And the reasoning behind such inhumane acts seem pointless and small in comparison to the enormously dangerous consequences and long-lasting impacts on our world and the people in it. In the midst of vulnerability and uncertainty, Jesus is here to remind us that the most extraordinary opportunities for transformation and love happen in the everyday. In what place is the Spirit calling you to lead the way? Where is a strong inner prompt to answer a new invitation leading you? Maybe it is a call to ordain ministry. Maybe it is to lay ministry. Maybe it is to volunteer or to donate. Maybe it is to go back to school. Offer your time or a room in your house. Sit at someone's bedside. Make a telephone call or a text. Offer a listening ear or a prayer. Each of us is qualified for this mission. Cynthia Borgo writes in Mystical Hope that mercy is a bond, an infallible link of love that holds the created and uncreated realms together. Mercy and compassion are the great weavers that bind us together as followers of Christ. Let us continue weaving this tapestry of connection, unconditional belonging and beloving, and binding the love that Jesus exemplifies and that our world so needs. Our call to walk in love can be both fulfilling and hard. And the hard is what makes it great. Amen.